Welcome to the Luxury Listing Specialist Podcast with Michael Lafito, where top luxury agents reveal their best practices, plus interviews with real estate industry influencers, thought leaders, and luxury marketing experts. You'll come away from each episode with new strategies and tactics to dominate high-end homes in any market. And now for the latest episode of Luxury Listing Specialist. Here's your host, luxury real estate expert, coach, and trainer, Michael Lafito.
Welcome back to another episode of the Luxury Listing Specialist Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Lafito. You're in the right spot if you're looking to work smarter, not harder, and learn some tools and tips and trades and some inside information on how you can acquire more opportunities. And if you're working with clientele that are in the high-end luxury space, how you can get their properties sold. I'm really excited about today's guest, but before I introduce him, just a reminder, if you've missed a previous episode, you can go to iTunes or Stitcher, look up Luxury Listing Specialist, or go directly to the website, luxurylistingpodcast.com. And if you have any questions about today's episode, or you want to shoot us a note with some feedback, or perhaps you have a recommendation for a future guest, send me an email to Michael@MarketingLuxuryGroup.com, Michael at Marketing Luxury Group. With that being said, I'm really excited to have one of the co-founders of At Properties on today's show. Thaddeus Wong is recognized across the industry as a trailblazer, outside the box, aggressive, does some amazing things. He's a co-founder of a company in Chicagoland called At Properties. They're number one in Chicagoland, and Thaddeus has been recognized as one of the 38th most influential person by Stephen Swinepoel's T30 top 200 individuals. So with that being said, Thaddeus, thank you for your time and joining us today.
Absolutely not a problem. Good to be here.
So you co-founded At Properties. Many of the listeners perhaps haven't heard of At Properties. Do you want to take just like 1 minute and talk to us a little bit about, you know, the company? I believe you guys did just under or maybe more than about $9 billion in sales in 2017. I'm not sure where the 18 numbers came in, but talk to us a little bit about when At Properties was launched and where you're at today.
Sure. At Properties was launched in the spring of 2000. My partner, Mike Golden, and I started with two other agents and our personal assistants. And organically, over time, we've grown to the size where we are today. We have 2,800 agents. Last year closed a little over $9.5 billion in volume. So it's interesting. Our growth has really been focused and revolved around marketing, and a lot of that has been luxury homes and luxury developments. So we like what we do when it comes to luxury marketing. We like how we've grown over the last 18 years, but we're still looking forward to adding new things in the future.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've been impressed with following you guys is, you know, there's an old adage, success is a journey, not a destination. And I feel like if there's something that can help agents, something that can differentiate your company from others, you're all ears, you're open to it. There's a lot of traditional brokerages out there that are inside the box. Maybe they're not up on technology and trends and that sort of thing. And, I see it a lot of these Inman conferences, and you see to be a student of the game and always looking to better your craft and bring more resources to your agents. So you hit upon an important point that I want to talk a little bit about. So we're talking about, of course, on the podcast, high-end and luxury, and our listenership could be newer agents, Thad, to top producing agents that specialize in luxury, and they're just looking for the principle of slight edge. So, you know, you talked about, you know, marketing. I'm a big believer in marketing, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, showing up differently and being memorable. And At Properties, you know, listing leave behinds, if you will, when an agent goes on a listing appointment, your listing packages, particularly in the luxury price point, but really all price points, And the collateral, once, you know, the homeowner hires At Properties, your actual brochures are the finest quality that I've seen in the industry. So talk to me a little bit about your philosophy there, if you don't mind, and what a homeowner would you know, expect to consistently receive when they're with At Properties.
Well, the real estate agent, there are many types of real estate agents, all different personalities. But the one thing I thought that could always be improved, and one thing that the company could provide, would be collateral marketing for the listing. And every listing, every homeowner wants to see their home presented in the best possible light. And we've all been through open houses and showings where photocopied listing sheets are given as the brochure. And I always just looked at it from the perspective of me being the home seller. If my home is for sale and I've hired a full-service broker to market my home and present my home, I want it to look in the best light as possible. And I want a buyer or a prospect to leave my home after a showing with a beautiful piece of collateral showcasing the home. So when they go back and talk with their friends or meet with their spouse and make a decision when they're thinking about this house, they're looking at it through the best lens possible. There are certain things we can do that will or should support the sale of a price of a home that's higher than anticipated. And one of those has to do with the way you present the home. If a buyer comes in and they get a very schlocky brochure and very little collateral having to do with the home or very little information, you know, it's not as likely that the buyer would be as enthusiastic as if when they got home they had some great pieces of collateral about the home with the floor plan, multiple photos, and presented in a really luxury way. And for our listings that are luxury over $1 million, we actually produce a hardcover book, about 16 pages with all the home's amenities, the floor plans, and lots of photos in it. And we always feel that that's a great way to set us apart. And when it comes to capturing listings, which all of us want to do, when we're competing for a listing with other agents, being able to show the seller what you deliver versus your competitors gives you one leg up. You know, the seller is going to make a decision based on the relationship or the knowledge that you have. But another big piece of it is, what are you actually doing to sell my home for a higher price? And when you can show true ways that you invest in their house, and we are big believers in print and collateral materials, but we also create an individual website for every single listing and have a great digital presentation. So that piece of it is the presentation of a home. If you can figure out ways to accentuate that in your local market so that the way you present a listing is far better, then two things are going to happen. One, the seller is going to appreciate you and know that they can't hire anyone else to present their home better. And number two, you're going to capture more listings, because all of the other listings that are not selling, if they go to walk through this house or they see the presence online, they see the way it's marketed, they are then going to call you after their listing expires to see why, because everybody would want their home presented in the best possible light. No one says, I don't care, just no need for a brochure, or, oh, just give me four photos. Everybody wants their home, their pride and joy, to be presented in the best possible light, period.
That's very valuable information there. So leaving important lead behinds, you know, I was helping an agent to market an $18 million property in Nashville, and long story short, they had a single one-sheet flyer that was really flimsy, wasn't on thick cardstock, and I use it sometimes as an example. Does that flyer necessarily help sell the home directly? Maybe not. But it doesn't leave a good light for any potential clients coming in to remember that home, remember some of the special features. And, you know, you mentioned a 16-page, you know, hardbound book. And I've, you know, these are amazing. I've seen them. They touch. They look. They're the real deal. You talked about a single property website. And the one thing that, you know, we talked a little bit offline that you guys do as well, of course, is you do individual signs on single-family properties. So, you know, if you have 123 Elm Street, you know, you have a sign that's custom-made for that house with the URL on the sign. A lot of agents might have they call them sign riders that hang listing below the sign. You guys create custom signs for your listings, which is can't be cheap, but it looks awesome, and it helps the agents secure the listing. So, again, some really good points there for the listeners. A lot of these.
Yeah, a new seller out there, when a seller is, you know, looking for an agent to list with, no one's looking for the cheapest agent.
Right.
So, you know, when you talk about cheap materials, that's the bottom line, is that I think that a lot of our luxury, we're the number one luxury market leader in all of Chicagoland, and I think a big piece of it has to do with the way that we present every home and the respect that we give the home by making sure that the presentation is flawless.
Yeah, so that's a great point. So for all those listeners that might be broker owners or team leaders or individual agents, having some consistency out there. So if you do it for one client, you know, in the neighborhood or a certain community, and create a nice brochure, that sort of thing, you need to be doing it for everybody else. That's one way to differentiate yourself. And again, these collateral materials definitely not only help you secure the listing, and hopefully they'll help you get them sold. I had a gentleman on this podcast a few years ago. He's David Banks out of Maine, and David is a $160 million producer with REMAX, and David shared one of his unique features is he does just that, Thad. He creates basically a hardcover bound book like a Shutterfly, and doesn't produce as many as At Properties gives out, but the same thing. It's a way to differentiate. So high class materials, a way to differentiate, showing up differently on your listing appointment, all really good tips for today's listener.
Hey there, it's Michael Lafito. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you are interested in signing up for our Luxury Listing Specialist certification, or if you want additional information on how you can dominate selling higher-end homes in your marketplace, make sure you go to luxurylistingspecialist.com.
What are you seeing in the marketplace? You know, here we are still in the first quarter of 2019, and I know you and I ran into each other at the Inman Conference in New York last month. What are you seeing in talking to other, influencers in the industry? What are you seeing particularly, you know, in the high-end and luxury space in Chicago? And then what are you seeing outside of the Chicagoland market based on the relationships and your knowledge that you've been following out there?
In Chicago, what we're finding is that buyers are willing to pay up for brand new. And the price disparity per square foot between brand new and pre-owned is the widest it's ever been. And the part of the luxury market we're finding which is struggling the most are those homes that are dated. And dated can mean even just 10, 15 years. It has the floor plan people are looking for, but whether it's the flooring, the cabinetry, the colors, the tile, it just feels old. And today's buyers don't want to do the work. What they're saying is, you know what, I am more than willing to pay a significant premium, more than it would cost to upgrade this home, to buy a different home which is brand new. And I don't know how wide that gap is going to grow before it starts to pull up the resale market and those start to sell, but we haven't seen that happen as of yet. I'm hoping that happens this year. So far this year, locally, we found it to be a strong spring market. We anticipate and we're projecting that our numbers will be similar to last year. No one is expecting extreme growth and no one is expecting extreme appreciation. But that being said, no one is also expecting any downfall in pricing or lower volume to be closed. It just feels like very similar to last year. Things were really exciting in 17, and they flattened out a little bit in 18, and I feel like 19 will be the same market, whether it's catching its breath, it's been on a long run, or that it's just tapering off a bit. We don't see any price reductions, but we do see a little bit of a flattening out. And buyers that sold in 14, 15, or bought in 14, 15, 16, we don't see them selling for a profit yet. As far as outside of Chicago, same thing. If you look at some of the sales recently in New York, people were worried about a luxury market that's saturated in New York, but still the new construction is breaking records. So they just sold, I think it was the largest, highest priced condominium to be sold at $238 million. So they're still setting records. And, you know, California is its own market. When I talked to friends out there, they said that it's cooling off a bit. prices had skyrocketed for the previous 8 years, and they're just leveling off, and people are looking for it to flatten out a little bit and pull back.
And, you know, being based in Chicago, and you've lived here for so many years, you know, there's all these polls and these perceptions of Chicagoland, right? Mass exodus, high taxes, you know, I'm not sure if it's Mayflower, U-Haul, they put these reports out every year talking about, you know, Illinois's got more people 4 years in a row leaving than coming in. They're negative as far as more people leaving than coming in. What are your thoughts? What do you say? You know, I'm a home seller, and I'm interviewing you, and say, hey, Thad, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, what's your perception as to not necessarily why that is, but how would you overcome that objection if somebody, I guess, was throwing at you, hey, Thad, why should I buy now, or why should I sell now in the Chicagoland market?
Well, it's interesting. You're seeing that Amazon today could be pulling out of Queens because of the resistance. That would put Chicago back at the forefront of that conversation. And when you look at the macro level, Chicago has an amazing transportation infrastructure. They have great bus lines, train, expressway, and now we have, O'Hare has now gotten back to the second busiest airport in the world. Also, we have incredibly affordable housing in Chicago. So unlike San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, New Jersey, you know, Chicago's housing is incredibly affordable for especially entry level. And when they talk about people migrating out of the city, in all reality, where the city is losing population are not in the affluent communities. The affluent communities are gaining population. And if you go into the core center of Chicago, you're seeing the most construction we've had for luxury apartment buildings, and they have not slowed down in their tenancy. So everything, I understand the conversation about the taxes and the resistance. Nobody likes paying taxes. But if you compare it to California and New York, from a tax perspective, we're still relatively affordable. And when you look at the entire Midwest core, from an education side, if you're going to go for jobs, if you're an employer and looking to open, because of the Big Ten and University of Chicago, we have some of the smartest people in the country right here in the Midwest, and they all pull towards Chicago. So although temporarily I think the conversation is negative, I think conversations in general, especially around the news, are negative. I do think that Chicago has a great future. I don't think it's going anywhere at all. It's definitely not being flushed down the toilet. Our state has some serious financial problems that it needs to deal with, but I think that I'm very bullish and I'm very positive that I think that things are going to come out rosy on the other end. And the second piece of that is just living in Chicago is a dream. For a lot of people, if they don't know, it's the most livable city in the country. You can raise a family in the city, send them to good public schools, have great outdoor space, affordable housing, and still be in a cultural mecca with an incredibly diverse community. And so it is a great place to live. I think more and more people are moving here. And the reports of people really moving out are two sections. One, I understand, above 40. But the people moving back into Chicago are college graduates in their mid-20s. So that's the ratio that we're replacing. And I'm fine with that. You know, the more people that we have to fulfill the employment needs, the better we have for the future of Chicago.
Great insight. For those of you that don't know, it is a great city. You guys do a lot with nonprofits. Can you talk to us a little bit about that, giving back to the community? I know you guys help out with, Chicago Cub, Anthony Rizzo and his foundation, and a bunch of other. So can you talk to us a little bit about, from a philanthropical standpoint, yours and Michael Golden's philosophy with At Properties and how you encourage agents to give back as well?
Definitely. Mike and I, when we founded the company, we always had a strong sense of the need to give back to the community. There's no corporation or company that doesn't generate its revenue from all of its citizens. And I think that often gets forgotten, especially when we talk about income inequality, et cetera. But it is so important. Like, none of us as corporate leaders or company founders can have successful companies without the consumer participating. So giving back to the community, in my opinion, is just a fundamental need to show your participation and your authentic care for the constituency that you serve. So we support the Chicago Children's Museum. We support a number of cancer initiatives, the Children's Hospital. You can go down the list, but we annually raise over $250,000 through the company that we contribute to charities, some in large checks and a lot of small checks. But we really try to listen to our agent base and figure out the non-for-profits, even the smallest ones in communities to support, all the way up to, as you mentioned, Anthony Rizzo's foundation. I believe we contributed $100,000 to him. Joachim Noah's Ark, which serves programs into underserved communities. We contributed $150,000 year before last. And that's a big part of who we are culturally. As a company, we want all of our agents to get together and understand the importance of giving back and also the personal fulfillment that's achieved through helping others. Having empathy and understanding for others is one thing, but being able to actually put your money where your mouth is and put your energy out there for the assistance of someone where your only thing that you're getting in return is your personal pride and participation in living in a community and participating in giving back. So that for us is a big part of who we are. We enjoy it. We don't consider it a liability or we consider it an opportunity. We really enjoy doing it, and we've generated more rewards than you can imagine. And culturally, our company has really come together most strongly when it revolves around serving those in need.
Yeah, you know, great. Keep it up. Really been impressed with that. You know, I just got back from Charlotte, North Carolina this week. I had a certification training at Giving Tree Realty, and they named their brokerage after the book Giving Tree. And they don't encourage each of their agents picks a nonprofit, and a percent of the company's sales goes from each closing goes towards that nonprofit. So it was kind of top of mind awareness, and I've been impressed with what I've seen at properties do from giving back. So thank
you. Do your kids have that book, The Giving Tree?
Oh, it's a great book. Yes, we've read it. Yes, Dan.
How do you like the photograph on the outside back cover?
What's that?
The photograph of the author on the outside back cover.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, it's a little spooky.
A little intimidating. He's a big man. He's got kind of got that Mr. Clean look, doesn't he?
It looks like he's chopped down a number of trees.
Yeah, for sure. That's funny. All right, so anything you want to leave us with is from a luxury standpoint, the focus today, early on, we're going to probably talk a lot about in the promotion of the marketing aspects and some great collateral and leave behinds. Any final thoughts there or anything else that you want to share with the group?
I think at the end of the day, there's probably three things that the agent needs to provide a luxury home seller or buyer, and any really home seller or buyer. Number one is a really strong EQ, being able to be a good listener, to understand what your buyer or seller is looking for, and valuing what they have to say. A lot of times as agents, we're so interested in what we have to say that we don't do a good job of listening. And you can actually learn a lot more from listening than you can talking. And so really having a strong EQ. And market knowledge as well. When sellers or buyers talk with you, they want you to have answers. They want you to have opinions, and they want you to have a clear understanding of the market. The only way they'll know that is if you can clearly articulate that to them. The second, I think, is positive relationships. Anytime you're with a client and you are engaging in looking or presenting properties, they see your interactions with colleagues and other brokers and their clients, and being able to develop and show positive, strong relationships only puts your client in the best position to either pay the least or sell for the most. And I think third, and now becoming more importantly, is a technology platform that you can use efficiently to service your customers so that there is true efficiency. The last thing anybody wants to see are paper contracts being pulled out, or, they really want an efficient process, especially from the luxury end. And it also shows that you are with the times and you have a process that can take them from contract to close without being annoying and having to shuffle through papers or to carry around folders, that everything is set up for them in a very easy way, whether you use your company's proprietary system or a Dropbox. So things can be shuffled through inspectors and attorneys and closers very efficiently. I think those three things, you give those to your client, and a nice smile, you should be okay.
Well, and number one, you talked about a strong EQ, and again, for listeners that perhaps aren't familiar with that terminology, it refers to emotional intelligence, which, you know, is the way an agent manages the emotions of not only themselves, but of others and groups and their clients. Perhaps you've heard of DISC personality, or, you know, there's a great book out there if you're in a relationship called The Five Love Languages, and there's all some overlapping and some similarities, but there's some great free quizzes out there on emotional intelligence, just like perhaps DISC personality. But if you're not familiar with EQ, it will help increase your conversion. You'll be a better listener. You'll be a better agent trying to figure out what the consumer is looking for, and everybody is different, right? You might make the assumption that your seller wants top dollars, but perhaps because of, you know, there's some disease or something in their life that just recently changed, their motivation might be time, and they're willing to concede maybe some dollars, but they don't have money to invest in the house, and they need to get it sold, so quicker sale might be more important than top dollar. So really being present and asking the right questions and being empathetic, and so look up EQ if you're not familiar with it, but a great reminder. Thanks for that, Thad.
Absolutely.
For anybody that might be an agent, or, you know, they're want to find out more information about At Properties, what's the best way for them to do that?
Easy. If you Google At Properties, atproperties.com, or go directly to our domain, you can check out all of our information about the company, what we do. Just Google us. You'll see a lot of things pop up. You can click videos. We have tons of videos out there, lots of articles on the company, just lots of information. We're pretty transparent. There's a lot of data out there about us.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, and I know you're very busy. Keep raising the bar in real estate, Thad. So appreciate everything you're doing. And for those of you that have any other questions, again, shoot us an email, michael@marketingluxurygroup.com. If you want more information on our certification, just go directly to luxurylistingspecialist.com, Luxury Listing Specialist. We've had agents from 30 states over the last year go through our certification. So if you have any questions, if you're dead serious about taking your business to the next level and increasing your average sale price, check it out or shoot us an email. My name is Michael Lafito, and until next time, make it a great day and keep raising the bar in real estate. Thank you again, Thad.
You're welcome.